This is Catherine O'Connell and welcome to Lawyer On Air. If you are looking for inspirational stories about women in law, then this is the podcast for you. Join me and my lawyer ladies as we enjoy a glass of wine after a hard day at work and talk about the world of women in law. It's my passion to share stories of amazing legal ladies who are working as in-house legal counsel, who have law firm roles, who are leading on boards and who are doing law differently. From time to time, I will also invite special guests on the show to share their insights on legal recruiting and tips for getting hired as a successful lawyer in Japan. I hope you will enjoy getting to know these amazing women who I am so proud to share a profession with. I'm glad you're here and I hope you enjoy the show. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Lawyer On Air podcast. In this episode, I share with you another diverse story of a woman lawyer working in Japan. I'm Catherine, the host of the show, and I'm a lawyer based in Tokyo for 20 years, and I love helping unlock the wisdom of the stories that women lawyers never tell. What I've learned from my career in law so far is, if you keep doing what you do with love and energy, you can find a way eventually. And you can be very helpful for your clients. So don't give up and you can do whatever you want to do. Well, those are the words of Mami Hino, who is my guest today on the podcast. Mami is a partner at Abe Ikubon Katayama, and she qualified as a patent attorney, a US lawyer, and she also has a pharmacist qualification. In an article published by the Japan Patent Association, Mami told her story of having to quit her previous company due to her marriage to her husband. Pivoting, she moved on to obtain a JD and became a US attorney. She is the first chairperson of the Diversity Committee of the Japan Patent Attorney Association. Mami's work these days is in the area of patent disputes, where she fights for her clients to protect their patents, representing the world's leading technology companies. You can check out Mami's full bio in the show notes. On this episode, Mami shares how she never gave up, even in the tough and lonely times, knowing no English yet deciding to boldly sign up for law school, backing herself instead of the naysayers telling her not to study law. And how that spirit led her to joyfully dovetail her first career experience in the pharmaceutical space with Japan patent law and her experience in the US. And this has started her passion to be a leader for diversity inclusion in the world of patent law in Japan. She also shares how, through her lived experience of being in New York during 9/11, she was able to find true value in her skills as a lawyer to help others by putting their needs first. You will also hear how Mami recommends the path of the patent lawyer to everyone who is considering a career in law, especially for women. She knows that from the inside, it is an attractive career because it's not physically impactful on the body. It opens up a flexible career for any life event that comes your way. And working with cutting edge technology is really rewarding, especially in this age of AI and ChatGPT. And then Mami also shares her hot tips on the best sushi place in Tokyo, her favorite bookshelf hotel in Hakone, where you can literally lie down on a bookshelf surrounded by books, and other fun facts. Let's get into it. Hello, Mami, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kathleen.
My first question, as always, is if we were meeting up in person, Mami, where would we be? Do you have a favorite wine bar or restaurant that you love to go to? And what would be your choice of beverage off the menu today?
That's a very good question. Yesterday, I went to this French cafe nearby, and it was very nice. It's open cafe, and we can see the greens and the blossoms blooming. So I think that's the place. The place is named Oba Canal.
Oh, Oba Canal.
You know that?
Yes, I know the one. But which one is it? Because there's quite a few around Tokyo. Which one was it?
It is nearby Hotel New Otani.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I have not been there for a little while, though.
It's the best season if you want to go there. That's nice.
Ooh. Oh, maybe we can go there with the person we were talking about just
Yeah,
before.
that's a
Sounds
great
good.
idea.
All
Right.
right. And so what would you recommend to order off the menu?
Glass of wine?
What kind of wine do you like?
I'm not the person who knows the wine very well. So any kind of a white wine would be nice.
White wine sounds good. Very nice and crisp. Very good for spring season. I love it. Thank you so much. Let's do that. We'll talk about that a bit later. So, Mummy, thank you very much for coming on the show and trusting me to come and tell us your story. I would love to ask you a little bit about back in your early days when you were a child, or even when you were becoming a young adult, what kinds of careers were you thinking about or dreaming about at that time?
When I was a little, for some reason, I like to see the science type of things. I like to do the reading, science book, and I like the science class. So I was thinking maybe the science is the good direction that I should go. Eventually, my mother has this idea, so I should be a pharmacist.
Right. Why
Yeah,
did she think
so.
that?
My father happened to be a pharmacist, so her idea was that later in my father's career, he was not a pharmacist. He was working for a pharmaceutical company, but
Right.
eventually he has to retire from the company. So at the time that in my mother's mind, it's a good idea to have this little pharmacist and run by my father and myself. So that'd be her idea. So she was whispering to me, you should be a pharmacist. Pharmacist would
Oh,
be nice.
yeah,
So,
pharmacist. And they're whispering to you. I see.
yeah, whispering to me. And then I was not thinking very well, but yeah, pharmacist would be nice. That's what I thought. And then I went to college and did pharmacology. That was my major.
Oh, I see. So her idea was that when your father retired from the pharmaceutical company, that you would be a pharmacist by that time and work with him in a little family business.
Right.
Oh, that's kind of cute, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. And you could see your father working quite hard. Did you get some idea about pharmacy work or working in a pharmaceutical company from seeing your father doing that kind of job?
Yeah, the time to time that I talked to my father about the drug business and the developing a new drug product or to help patients, I thought it's very nice and exciting job.
Oh, interesting. And what do you think about that, the way that your mother told you, whispered to you this,
Yeah,
compared to say, some other mothers might say, look, you must be a pharmacist. You've got to be a pharmacist. Do you think that was on purpose that she did it in that way for you?
I don't know what she was thinking, but she was a housewife in a very young age. She was a teacher, but she had to step out from the work and to get married with my father in a way that she want me or the daughter to keep some profession through life. So I thought it's very good idea, and I really appreciate that she had that idea.
Right. And so you did actually study to be a pharmacist, but did you ever work as a pharmacist?
Not exactly. A very short moment. So I went to study pharmacology,
Pharmacology, yes.
pharmacology, and then tried to take the exam to be a pharmacist. I start working with this pharmaceutical company, so I didn't have a chance to really become a pharmacist. But when I was going to college, I was being an assistant for pharmacist. That was very interesting and a good experience.
Was that like a part-time job?
Yes.
Oh, what kinds of things did you do then?
Go to middle-sized hospital, and the hospital has this pharmaceutical department, and then there was a real pharmacist, and
A
that
real
real pharmacist,
pharmacist standing there.
yeah, standing there, and asked me to do this and that, and
Oh.
I did actually prepare some drugs for
Oh.
patients. That's
Right.
kind of scary.
Yes. Do I get it right? Do I get it wrong? What happens? That would be quite scary, actually. Yes.
Right. Right. But that was very interesting. I learned a lot from that part-time job.
What in particular did it teach you? What kind of thing did you learn?
That's not necessarily to be a pharmacist, specifically to pharmacist job, but how to communicate with patients. Sometimes we need to explain, you know, what this drug does to them, or, you know, that the communication with the patients. That's one thing I learned.
Yeah, and you would need some kind of understanding or empathy for them and patience, because they might be quite stressed when they're getting their medicine, and you need to kind of have that skill as well, right? Communicate well and have empathy, I would think.
Right. Yeah, that they are patients. So
yes.
We need to be nice to them and explain in a very easy word, using easy word to explain them, you know, that this drug does what kind of function.
Yes. So we
to
have to
them.
Be kind and explain and have empathy, like we do with our clients as lawyers now.
Yeah, exactly. So
exactly.
That experience might help me now, very remotely, but that was very good experience.
Yes. And so you didn't become the pharmacist, but I think you did something with your pharmacy qualification, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right. So after I worked with the pharmaceutical company as a pharmacist researcher, and that's kind of a pharmacist job, but then I need to resign from the position, and then I became a managing pharmacist for this very tiny factory.
What does a research pharmacist do that's different to a pharmacist? I have no idea.
So when I was working with this pharmaceutical company, pharmaceutical company has this researching laboratory, and they have a lot of researching pharmacists, but doesn't have to be pharmacists, but there are many researchers there working there. At the beginning, that was very interesting project. Do you know the antibiotics, right?
Yes, I do. Antibiotics, yes. We need them.
Right. And antibiotics, in order to make antibiotics, we need to do the fermentation of the yeast and the germs. They are the ones who make the antibiotics. So we have a lot of fermentation glass containers around me.
Yes.
and try to find the good antibiotics. That was very interesting project.
Did you enjoy that job? Well, it sounds like you really enjoyed that job.
Yeah.
Compared to, say, being a pharmacist.
But I moved to another project that was using the resulting products that what the germ made to find a good drug against cancer.
How many years were you doing the pharmaceutical research, and also, managing that smaller department in the company?
I worked with the pharmaceutical company only 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the job, but I got married this guy who is working with another pharmaceutical company. So it was difficult for me to be there.
Right. So that's an interesting story, isn't it? Because these days, I don't think really people worry so much about somebody who works in another company. I can even think of, in my friends and people I know in Tokyo, there are lawyers who work in private practice, both in different private practices, and they're married or seeing each other. And I know of a couple who are both in-house, and they are continuing to keep in their jobs, male and female. So it's very interesting, isn't it, that you had to leave because of your, husband-to-be being in another pharmaceutical company. How was that for you?
Yeah, I didn't think of, what would happen when I decide to get married with this guy working for another company. But I saw the results and I was not very happy, but I couldn't do anything. So I decide to leave the company and work for another company.
So how did they find out that he's in another company? Is there some pressure as well at that time to, there could be some competition. I'm thinking they might think you are releasing secrets or something. Why? What was the theory behind it?
I think so. It is not openly told me or anything, but it's rather invisible pressure type of things. And I don't know if it is openly told, then I can maybe have arguments against that theory. But yeah, so it was very difficult because it wasn't told, it was not openly told, but that invisible type of pressure. And
Yes, that's hard.
yeah, that's hard. But after several decades, it turned out be great things happened to me. If it didn't happen to me, then I probably kept working with this same company. That company was great, and I didn't have any problem that. But eventually, I need to leave the company anyway because my husband was sent to the United States sometime later, and if that happened, then I need to. Probably it was difficult for me to keep the position anyway, and then because of that, things happened. I became a patent attorney, as you know,
Yes, so
and
this
I'm
is the
very into
remarkable thing, isn't it? Is that from
yeah.
something that was so horrible, that was an invisible pressure, you had to leave. But we sometimes call it a silver lining, don't we? The thing that happened that we didn't expect to happen, that's actually made you go into the area of law or into the job that you really wanted or the experience that you wanted to have in your life. So the negative turned into a positive for you.
Exactly. Now I can tell that that was exactly what
Now
happened
you can
to
tell
me.
that story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but at that time I was very unhappy.
Right. So what happened then? You left that company and you're probably not feeling very happy about it. But what happens then to let you also, I think, go to the US with your husband, correct? And
That's right.
start doing that process of becoming a patent attorney. Tell us about that bit of the journey. It sounds very interesting.
Sure. So as I said, I became a managing pharmacist for a tiny factory. Based on the reason I need to leave the company, I cannot find any other position similar to the prior one. So I was thinking maybe managing pharmacist would be nice, but it wasn't. It was really not exciting job at all. So I kept thinking what I can do. And then I found one of my friends from college became a patent attorney, and I didn't even think about there's a job like that in the world. What is patent attorney? And I didn't know at all about patents. So I started checking what patent attorney does, and then I thought it's interesting, and then I start seeking position with the patent firm, and I at the same time I was studying for patent attorney, and I passed the exam, and I became a patent attorney. And as soon as I became a patent attorney, my husband was sent to the United States, and I decided to go with him.
Oh, okay. So you did the patent attorney exam in Japan, and you,
That's right.
while you were doing that, you were also applying for a position with a patent attorney firm.
Yes, that's right.
Ah, so you can do that. You can actually do the exam study while you're working for a patent law office.
That's right.
Oh, how long does it take to study for the patent exam for when you did it, and is it the same now?
I was studying about less than 2 years, and then yeah, it wasn't that bad. So I became a patent attorney.
Wow, it's amazing though, isn't it, that you have this conversation with a friend who's this patent attorney and it starts you on another path to research and find out about it. What did that tell you then about yourself that you can move from one thing where you are let go by the invisible pressure and then do a different path that you never thought about? How does that make you feel now looking back at that person, Mami-san, who was, you know, doing that in the middle? How is your feeling now about that time and yourself, the kind of person you are now?
Looking back, I don't remember much, but at that time, I didn't have any other choice. So I was desperate. I needed to find something I can do. And then it turned to be a great, it was a very good choice.
Sure.
Yeah.
What happened then when you went to the USA? Did you find another experience there?
Yeah, so then I went to the United States. I didn't even speak English at that time, and it was really, really hard.
Yes.
I didn't have anything to do, and I cannot speak the word. It was a very hard time, but I had plenty of time. I didn't have a child back then, so I had plenty of time, and I was thinking maybe good idea to go to law school. So I started preparing for entering law school. And
so hang on, you've got no English, so you say, but you think you'll go to law school?
All right. And then
wow, where is that confidence coming from? That's incredible.
There's no confidence.
There's no confidence.
But again, I was desperate. I was so lonely. I didn't have anything to do. And then I, as I said, that I just had plenty of time. So if I have plenty of time, maybe I can do something.
Oh, yeah. Great comment. I mean, you have the no confidence, or you don't have anything there, but you've got the time and the
right.
way to apply yourself to something and fix and get out of that where you were, that funk or that situation where you said you were desperate and lonely. Wow, that's amazing that you turned it around.
That's true. I think there are many friends told me, you know, you cannot even speak English well, and you forget it. You should not. You cannot go to law school. Just enjoy the weather. I was
enjoy
living
the weather.
I was living in San Diego, so the weather was very nice, gorgeous.
Yes.
So just you know, you should enjoy the life in California, and you know, that's the way that you want to spend time. You don't want to spend time to just, you know, sitting and studying for entrance, you know. But
you ignored them.
Right.
Why did you do that? Why did you just know I'm going to go to university? Why did you do that?
I don't know. I just curious, you know, what people are doing that in law school. I watched a movie called Paper Chase.
Yes. Oh,
yeah,
I know
an
the
old
one.
Movie in the 70s, but that's about the Harvard Law School students.
Yes.
And they had a very hard time, but I cannot go to Harvard, but I just want to see, you know, how people are doing in law school.
Right. And how do people do in law school? And how was it for you? Did they accept you? Did you become part of their community? How did it go studying there?
It was all very, very interesting experience. It was very hard. I went to law school for 3 years, and especially in the first year, it was very, very hard. First of all, that I tried to find a Japanese friend, but I couldn't find any Japanese. So I gave up. And I was talking to the American friends. They were even finding that the law school study is very hard, and they were crying. And then I complained to them, you know, that you are having a hard time, but I have even harder time because I have, you know, difficulty with the language. And they said, you know, the legal is a jargon anyway, so it's the same. It's not the same.
No, it's not. I think if you understand English, you actually have a little advantage on the legalese, right?
Right. But so that was, looking back, that was fun, but that was very, very difficult.
Right. And so what happened after law school?
Actually, in the middle of law school, after the second year, everybody is trying to apply for summer program with the law firms. So I was talking to friends, they are applying for a summer program. I thought that it's a good idea for me to do that the same. And then I applied for several law firms. And the one law firm kindly offered me a summer position, and then I did the summer associate program. That was really a fun.
Yeah, I bet it was fun. Were you in the same San Diego area, or did you have to move?
Oh, I went to law school in New Jersey.
Oh, right, New Jersey.
So the law firm I applied for located in New York City.
Wow, cool. And so what happened? Did you do that? Did they take you on afterwards as well? Because I know often in the US style of the summer law firm program, the associate program, you come back to work for them. Yeah?
I didn't know very well, but I was, again, curious, you know, what the summer program is. I had a good time, good experience. Then I realized that's a part of the process to find a new associate. And then after the summer, I wasn't sure that they will offer me the position, but actually they did. I was surprised. So they offered me the associate position after I finished the law school. And I was so excited.
Right. Great. I mean, because now we know that that process is there, that the summer law, summer associate program leads to the process of being asked to come and join them. But when you were doing this, it wasn't there. No one really shared the information. So this is quite amazing for you to have done that. And you got back into that firm. What was interesting about that? What do you remember about those days when you were in the firm as a... Well, you're a newly qualified lawyer because you must have done the bar at some point as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but bar exam, right after the three-year law school, I took the bar exam. But even before that, they were kind enough for me to do the part-time job as a clerk. So I went to the law firm 2 days a week or so and did some, you know, assistant work for lawyers.
Right. Was it anything like all of this? Was it anything, the study and coming into the law firm? Was it anything like The Paper Chase or any other TV programs you saw? Or was it quite different?
It's I didn't see the TV program for law firm, but the law school, it's interesting that the people are competing each other.
Yes.
For example, every day when I go to law school and everybody go to law school, they are wearing jeans and, you know, the very relaxing outfit. But sometimes I wear suits, and then they ask me why you are wearing suits. And then I said, I have interview with this law firm. And then they become very hostile. And then which law firm are you going? And then I say, you know, I'm going to the city. then they got even more hostile. So there's some competition among the students. I myself is not very great student. You know, that you can tell that because of the one thing is language skills. So I'm not great student, but there are even, you know, there are many, many great students, but it's not easy for them to get the position in the New York City's law firm. It's also very competitive. So I thought it's very interesting.
Very interesting.
I've never experienced that kind of competition when I was studying in college in Japan.
Mm. How do you deal with jealous people or hostile people? What's your tip when you find that? Because this happens all through life. People will be hostile or envious or jealous of what you got, or they think that they didn't get. How do you handle that?
I sometimes intentionally or unintentionally ignore them. I mean, not the way that it's not nice. I just don't realize what they're trying to do to me. It's just, you know, keep that everything's peaceful.
Yeah, and don't let it affect you. So you just let it ride. Yeah, I see. Interesting. What did it teach you, though, that this is maybe something that people who even you think they may have an advantage, then it's flipped and they see you have an advantage? How does that make you feel? Did you just carry on? Or did it make you feel stronger to carry on? I'm not sure. What happened with you then?
I don't know. There are some kind of people that they always try to be very competitive or try sometimes do nasty things. But they cannot become happy anyway, you know, that if they do something like that, and they cannot be happy. So I just, you know, that just keep away from them. That makes ourselves, you know, the peaceful.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, if they're not happy, they're never going to be happy by trying to make others unhappy. Well done. That's really great. So you stayed with that firm for a little while, and did you return then to Japan?
Right. So I stayed there for 4 years, and then I came back to Japan. You know, you remember that at that time, 911 happened.
Oh, yes.
That's a long time ago. But when I was working with this firm located in midtown of the New York City,
yes,
the 911 happened.
Must and have then, been very terrible, a terrible experience.
Terrible, terrible experience. And then after that, there are very good things and bad things. The good thing is that I saw right after what happened, all the New York City lawyers united and have this organized matching system. The lawyers volunteer to help the people who had difficulties because of the terrorism. And then I did some volunteer work. That was a great experience. That's
Wow.
a good thing.
Yes, very fulfilling and also just so helpful. I didn't know that that kind of system had been set up after 9/11. So
Right.
you were matching your skills to help other people who were affected through the terrorist attacks.
Right. Yeah, the people had difficulty. For example, that there's a lady who was working with this office located nearby, Ground Zero. And then the company sent her like a two hours away from the original office, and she had difficulty. So she asked me to write a letter. So I wrote a letter to the employer. Another thing, I forgot what I did, but there was another person who has a family she couldn't find. And then I don't know. In that case, that we need to the lawyer need to fill the paper for the temporary that the person is missing. That maybe insurance,
yes,
receiving the insurance or the money. It's the government money or
right.
something
And
like
you were
that.
Helping people do that, and they weren't necessarily. I'm not saying they're not Japanese people. These are regular people living in New York City, right?
That's right. That's right.
Wow. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, I was just amazed that, you know, the that was like a few days after the event.
And
So
you're also
very
dealing with what happened with you during this, right? You're helping others, but you're dealing with this whole process of this terrible experience in your own life, as well as then going and taking a step to help others. That's really incredible. Tell us a bit more if you're able to.
Yeah, so right after the event, there was an announcement among the lawyers. So there was a like a city hall that there is a organization explaining how the lawyers can help people. I went there for the meeting and listening what we can do. And there is an application that they established quickly after the event. So if I enter the application that I can find someone. It's just a matching application and I can find the people who need the help and I can do something for them. And then we can meet up and talk, you know, what I can do for them. I was so impressed that, you know, someone who organized this system so quickly, and there are many people who can volunteer that kind of work.
Yeah, it's amazing. It takes an amazing person, I think, to mobilize after an event like that and to get people to come together to help others. Do you know if the letter that you wrote for the lady helped her get some ease for the distance that she had to travel?
I vaguely remember that she had some resolution.
Good,
so
yes.
my letter helped
That's
her
really
a
great.
little bit.
Did that experience change you in any way?
Yeah, I feel good, and I feel, I don't know, I thought it's great that I was a lawyer. That my regular job is just, you know, writing a patent application, or, you know, the thinking about the patent. That's also exciting, but regular lawyer job is also fulfilling and feel great for helping people.
Yeah, to help people. It's sort of the ultimate purpose of us. I think you do that through writing patents as well, but this is a different way of being a lawyer and directly helping people in their troubles.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Found that way. Wow. Okay. So moving from there, though, you did come back to Japan. And what happened then?
Yeah. So I said that there's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yes.
Good thing is, as I said, that the great experience through the volunteer work. But the bad thing is that I saw a little bit the mood for people's minds a little bit changed after the 9/11. For example, that we need to be careful that I'm not very good patriotism among the American people.
Oh.
And some people, I think that the media also talks about that somehow remember Pearl Harbor. And I cannot explain very well, but
I know what you're saying, though, in that just the way it impacted people brought up all kinds of memories or stories that they had heard before, or maybe brought out biases or assumptions. It brought out so many good things, as you say, people to help and volunteer and make other people's lives really so much more easier after that terrible situation. But on the other side of things, some other things that were a bit darker happened as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So after exactly 1 year after the event, I decided to come back to Japan. Maybe it was a good time to come back. My parents are not very young, so maybe it's a good time to. Oh, I forgot to mention, my husband was in the U.S. For his assignment from the company, but he had been sent back to Japan when I was going to law school, in the middle of law school. So
I see.
We were living separately at the time, for 4 years.
Right.
So it was time for me to come back to Japan.
And he wasn't there with you when this 9/11 happened?
Right after 9/11, he flew to New Jersey to see me, you know, how it is going.
Yes.
And he said that there was no one on the airplane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad he came to see you.
Time.
Yeah, very strange times. I'm glad he did come and visit you, though. That would be the thing that you would want to happen. So that's good. So you did then return to Japan after all of this. And I know that there's so much more would have happened to you during this period, but you did eventually return to Japan. And did you take up a law role when you came back?
I tried to find a position somewhere in Japan. And then I realized that I'm originally from Osaka. So I tried to find any position in Osaka, but I couldn't find any. So I decided to come to Tokyo. And then I worked with this firm. I mainly working as a Japanese patent attorney, but sometimes I do the work for US law.
Yes.
So so it is nice combination. I have a variety of work. I can use some of the experience I got from the law firm in the US.
Brilliant. And what happened then? Did you continue working in that firm? It sounds really nice to have that combination of the two kinds of work that you were doing. What happened?
Yeah, it is exciting to do the work as a Japanese patent attorney. A major work for patent attorney is writing a patent application. But right now that my focus is more on the litigation side. Or invalidity trials, more dispute type, but sort of people fighting, and I help that the clients either protect their patents or enforce their patents, and that's very exciting. It's very sometimes it's a very difficult job, but it's very nice profession to help clients.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you what you love about your work, what you find really satisfying and rewarding, and what you're proud of.
I'm very proud of what I'm doing now. I hope that I can help clients see me that they're helpful.
I'm sure. And what are some of your highlights then? Is there something that's happened in your career in the this fighting the disputes, right? Protecting or fighting. Is there something that you've found that has been really quite a professional or career highlight for you so far?
My major was pharmacology, right? Back then, when I was a college student. So my technical background is pharmaceutical science. And then I'm working with the pharmaceutical company clients, many of the pharmaceutical company clients right now, they using the technical background as pharmacist. And also, I can use the patent law experience, patent law knowledge. The combination should be very helpful for pharmaceutical clients. And also, not just patent law, I do learn a lot about pharmaceutical affairs, the regulatory law. Hopefully that also helpful clients. That's a highlight, one highlight. Another is so based on the background that I had experience working with the US law firm, I had a cross-border patent litigation time to time, the very big one. And at the time that I can help foreign clients, US clients, European clients, based on the knowledge when I was working with the US law firm. So that's two highlights I have.
That's great. And do those clients say thank you so much to you, or do you get some kind of feedback on how you're doing with your work, or is it sometimes no news is good news? You know, that if they say nothing, then that means you've done a good job. How is it in your particular field?
Time to time that I find that pharmaceutical company clients appreciate my technical background and also the knowledge about the regulatory law, especially foreign clients. Sometimes it's very difficult for them to understand the Japanese system, and I try to explain them, how it works, and they appreciate that. So I feel very happy
Yeah,
to help them.
that's great, isn't it? When you can bridge those two, and you've been the one to be the connector between those two different spheres. It's really amazing. Oh, great. I'd like you to finish this sentence for me, Mami-san. The most important thing I have learned from my career in law so far is.
If you keep doing that with the love or energy, you can find a way eventually, and you can be very helpful for clients. So if you do not give up, you can do whatever you want to do.
Oh, that's so good. I think that's really you, isn't it? You know, you've kept going and you've found a way to help clients not give up. That's your theme, isn't it? To not give up.
Yes.
Brilliant. And you, outside of your day-to-day work, you've also expanded and kept up your volunteer work, I believe, with the Japan Patent Attorney Association.
Yes, I'm doing now with the working with the Diversity and Inclusion Committee. That's very interesting and a new field that I can work with.
What does that committee do? Well, it's a new field, you're saying. So what is so the committee is newly established and you're trying to get more, is it DEI, diversity, equity and inclusion across the patent attorney groups?
Yes. So one thing is that JPAA, Japan Patent Attorney Association, established this committee 2 years ago, and I was chairperson for 2 years. But
So
your
you're the
question,
first chairperson of
yes,
this
first
committee.
chairperson.
Yay!
Yay. But you ask me, what we do. That's a very difficult question. So I think many people agrees that it's good thing to promote diversity or inclusion but it's really difficult what we can do for that. I think for 2 years we have been thinking and struggling what we should do and what we can do. We did some meetings or seminar, but yeah, I think we are really still thinking, you know, what we can do.
Well, maybe it's a case of the different industries or sectors that have got patent attorneys working and gathering the list together and having a, maybe you could have a big event or a smallish big event where people come together and you at least network
right.
and find out who is there and what do they want, what do they think might be necessary, yes. Right?
Yes, that's a great idea. Yeah, so gathering people it's a good thing. But I also found that there are many people who had different perspective, different idea. So the biggest goal is to promote diversity, but there are so many variety of the ideas. So sometimes, you know, the people are facing totally different directions, and it's not easy, but that's also a meaningful committee or meaningful project that we should keep doing.
Because that is the different perspectives and ideas is indeed diversity, isn't it?
That's right. You're right. Yeah, that's exactly diversity.
So then maybe the core areas that you can all agree on, and then there might be different sort of committees or subcommittees where people can do different things. And you could even think about including an international committee or group that you bring
that's
in
right.
some of the US patent attorneys who are working here, because there's a few.
Actually, that I joined this another committee just established by AIPPI. That's an international organization. They established this committee, but this committee is also struggling now, you know, what we should do. So this is very difficult area, I guess.
Interesting. But even if you had a quite light, not very serious, I don't mean that you're not serious, I mean that just lightly having a little group meeting where you're trying to do that, we're trying to do this. Is there somewhere we can collaborate to try and go further forward? I think if we always think about what we can't do, it never goes further forward. But with someone like you there, and perhaps the person who's at AIPPI, there might be a chance there to do more bridging than you might think. It sounds a little bit like most things, there's always diverging opinions, but it could have some potential. It's probably not easy, but it's maybe something that's really worthwhile to take forward.
I think you're right that, you know, it's meaningful to have this committee. So yes, we should keep doing, you know, whatever that we can do.
Sure. How many women patent attorneys are there in Japan?
Women patent attorneys, I don't know the number, but I know the percentage.
Yes.
The women is 16% of the entire patent attorneys.
Quite low.
Right, quite low. So we are not happy about that. But if you see the most recent patent attorney, just you know, passed the exam, it's more than 30%.
Okay. So
if you wait, if you wait long, then that we will, you know, probably have the more than 30% women.
Is there some reason for the increase in the people who are passing or sitting the exam and coming further forward? Is there something there that's triggering people to become patent attorneys?
I don't know, but in order to be a patent attorney, you don't have to be STEM, that science background people. But I think the major part of the work is, you know, for the science. So it's nice to have a science background. And as you know, that there are not many science background female. So that one problem that we had, we cannot have the, you know, 50% patent attorneys, female patent attorneys. But as you said, that why we are, that we have a slightly more percentage than before. I found this profession is very good for female. You don't need the physical power, and you know, you can sit and clean work. But the character of this work, if you think about it, it's good for female, and especially if you have life event, like if you have child or you get married or you know that you have sick family, you can keep the work. I don't know. You can change the workload for some time, and then eventually come back. I think if you if you have a patent attorney registered license, you can do that. So it's good for female. That's what hopefully that people realize and have more number of the female
Right.
taking exam.
That's great. I'm really glad to hear that. And would you think that the advice for the younger lawyers, perhaps, or younger people coming through, that to think about being a patent attorney?
Yeah, I really recommend that the young female try to think about, you know, this is a great profession, as I just explained. It's very flexible, and you can learn a lot from the day-to-day work. It's very exciting that you can see clients and listening the new technology, you know, the cutting edge technology, and you can work on that. It's very exciting. I never get bored because, you know, I can learn many good new technology every day. So it's exciting work, and it's flexible and good for female lifestyle. This might be one good candidate for your future career.
Wonderful. And would you have any other advice for young people who are thinking about a career in law?
If you put a lot of effort, and if you study a lot, you can be a great lawyer. I believe that I want to be a great lawyer, and doesn't matter the whether you are a man or women. So this is something that you want to think of, and that there might be still glass ceiling even for lawyer profession, but comparing to other field, I think it's less. So
Right.
This is a great profession. You just keep working and try to be a great lawyer.
Brilliant. And what about the future of law? Any ideas or thoughts or vision that you see for the next 5 or so years about this field of laws, opportunities that you can see?
I think it's changing, but I don't know how it will change. I hope that it will change in a good way, but I don't know. Now, you know, as you know, that there are many technology emerging, like AI or ChatGPT, or, you know, the everything is on internet. If we can use in a good way, that we can save our time and still we can achieve the better results, that'd be great. If we can use them in a good way, that we can see a bright future. But if we cannot do that, if we do it wrongfully, I'm not sure that we can head good direction. But I'm just a, you know, optimistic person.
Yes.
So
Yes.
I see that's a bright future
Great.
Coming soon.
I think you're right, especially this ChatGPT. There's such a lot happening around that at the moment. I heard a couple
Right.
of countries say that it's actually against the law. I heard on the NHK this morning, and I was thinking that's going to make things very interesting. Well, anything else, Mami-san, that we didn't cover today that you wanted to mention, or something you did talk about that you might want to re-emphasize again?
I really enjoyed conversation with you, and I really appreciate that you give me this opportunity. Talking about diversity or inclusion, I think what you have been doing this channel, it's very useful to show the people, you know, that there are many variety of people are doing their work very nicely. I think that what you have been done, it's great.
Thank you.
I like this.
Since I've done a variety, I want to show others too that I'm not just an exception, that I'm not just unusual in myself, that there are plenty of other people who actually have not had a traditional pathway in law and have had many challenges along the way and really interesting experiences that have happened to help their growth and to become a person that actually collaborates and contributes back into the community exactly in the way that you have been doing. And as you did in the United States as well. And so those people like you and anybody who's been on the show and future guests, that's my aim. So I'm glad you've said that. Thank you very much. It is a channel to show people there is a variety of work that you can do. I really appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And as we finish up, I usually finish up the show on a lighter note with some quick questions, just a little bit more relaxed. And one of them is your favorite Japanese food that you love, and where can I get it in Tokyo or Osaka? It might be actually.
There's so many food that I like. that's a very good.
It's a very hard question, isn't it?
There are several places that I keep going, but there's one sushi place I love, and I go there for last 20 years. You want the name of the sushi
yes,
restaurant?
Yes, please tell me. I'm writing it down.
Okay. that sushi restaurant's name is Suzu.
Yes, Suzu.
Suzu, located in Yotsuya.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe we can go there. And the place in, yes, thank you. The place in Japan that you most recommend people visit when they come here.
Oh, recently I found this place, Hakone Honbako.
Hakone
Honbako, bookshelf.
Oh,
Honbako.
Yes, Honbako. I heard you. Yeah.
Yeah, that place is located in Hakone. It has nice onsen, the hot spring. But the great feature of this hotel is they have tons of interesting books and bookshelves. So it's surrounded with bookshelves, and you can pick whatever that books that you like, and you can read it for
exciting.
All day.
Right.
And you can even sit in the bookshelf or lie down in the bookshelf. there are many places and caves inside the hotel, and you can just
exciting.
Sit there and read the books. It's so much fun
to
be there.
Wow, I love it. Have you been there?
Yeah, I've been there several times, and it's very, very nice. And they have good food too.
That sounds like so much fun. Goodness me. Wow, great. And what's your favorite saying in Japanese or English even? Kotowaza, right?
Kotowaza. I didn't think about that question.
No, it's whatever you think. There might be something that you find yourself saying quite a lot. And for me, when I think of you, I think of akirame naide or kanosuku yaru, like to not give up and to do things with a spirit of enjoyment. That's what I feel when I think about you and hear your story.
Then I like that.
Okay, we'll give you that one then. And if you weren't being a lawyer, a patent attorney, what would you be doing?
You know, at the beginning of my career, I was very happy working with the laboratory. So I kept doing the laboratory research.
And something about you that a lot of people don't know.
People may not think I don't know the English word, samishigariya.
that you're not someone who's, what do we call it? Samishigariya.
When I'm alone, I miss people so much, maybe too much, or something like that.
Okay, so you can get a bit blue. Sometimes people call it blue, right? That's something that we wouldn't know. So to look after you, don't let mummy be alone. Look after her when you think she might be by herself. That's really great to know, actually. I think that's wonderful. Well, mummy, thank you so much. We've come to at the end of our chat today, but I really thank you again for coming on the podcast. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you. I didn't realize you'd had that experience through 9/11 and how it's actually changed you and impacted you with things that you do and the way that you do your work. I really appreciate you coming on the show and telling us that, as well as all your other stories. For people who have listened to this and would like to connect with you and learn a bit more, where's the best place that they can reach out to you? Would that be LinkedIn or somewhere else?
Yeah, LinkedIn. Please look up LinkedIn.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. We'll put that in the show notes. We'll put your LinkedIn profile link into the show notes. And so for anyone who is listening, if you have been listening and enjoyed it and are inspired to do something different, please do share it with your friends, share it with us. Tell us what you thought about this episode, what it meant to you, what you really liked about it. We'd love to hear that later going on. And also, if you did enjoy it, please share it with somebody else who you think would love to lead a lawyer extraordinaire life just like mummy. We've come to the end of today, so thanks all everybody for listening. Thank you very, very much. Cheers, kampai, and bye for now. Thank you so much for listening today to this episode of Lawyer on Air. I really hope that you were inspired by the story you heard and that you discovered something new about women in the law. Please subscribe to the show so that you don't miss future episodes. And if you can think of even just one person to share this episode with, that would make my day. I invite you to connect with me to talk more. Jump on over to LinkedIn or Instagram where you can find me, or send me a message via my website contact page. That's all from me today. I look forward to seeing you right here on the next episode of Lawyer on Air. Cheers, kampai, and bye for now.